I'd like to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 7. Book of Mark, chapter 7. We'll read verses 31 through 37. We began last week looking at this particular miracle of healing a deaf man who also had an impediment in his speech. Again, begin reading with verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which was the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, which is the southeastern shore. And they, that is the people of that region, Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities. So the people from that region, they bring unto him, that is unto Jesus, one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hands upon him. And he, Jesus, took him, the deaf man, aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, the string of his tongue was loosed, and as a result of this he spake plain. And he, Jesus, charged them, the multitude, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He, Jesus, hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We see in verse 31 that this man is brought to Christ. Christ is in the region of Decapolis. If you remember, the demon-possessed man of Gadara, after he was released of his demons, he went home to Decapolis. So that man lived in that area. And we see in Mark chapter 5, this is by way of review, verse 20, and he departed, that is, the demon-possessed man of Gadara who has been set free, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done. So word had spread through Decapolis how great things Jesus had done, and notice the result of the people, the result upon the people, and all men did marvel. That is, the people of Decapolis marveled at what the demon-possessed man of Gadara told them. So it's no wonder when Jesus now comes to this area, the people having heard of Jesus Christ and the people having marveled at what Christ had done, they bring this man, the Christ. And again, from Matthew's account, we see that they brought many people to Christ for Christ to heal them. Mark focuses in on this one case of this deaf man with the impediment in speech. So this man is brought to Christ, and the people plead with Christ for him to touch him. We see that Jesus took the man aside from the multitude, I don't believe too far, because again, Mark definitely witnessed what happened, but he went a little ways from the multitude, and he began to deal with this man personally, began to deal with this man privately, and we see that he touched him in a twofold way. He put his fingers into his ears. That's the first touch. And then he spit, I believe, on his finger, and then he touched the man's tongue. So the man has now been touched in a twofold way. After doing this, we read in verse 34 that he looked up to heaven. sending the message that what is about to happen comes to you from heaven. He looked up to heaven to give God the praise. He looked up to heaven to give God the glory. Then the next thing we read in verse 34 is he sighed. He sighed. That means to exhale. Jesus sighed, not as a result of reluctancy to heal this man, not as a result of any difficulty in healing this man. It was not difficult for Jesus to heal anyone. All he had to do was speak, we see. So this sigh was not the result of reluctancy on Christ's part. It was not the result, or was not indicative of any difficulty in performing the miracle. But I believe it was a sign or an expression of his pity and his sympathy for this individual that was deaf. And then the next thing we see is Jesus spoke. And what Jesus said was, be opened. Be opened. He's talking to the ears of this man. He's given a command to the ears of this man. And we see the result was an immediate healing. We read in verse 35, and straightway, immediately, his ears were opened. So we have the word of Christ, and we have an immediate result. And again, the words were not spoken to the man. They were in the hearing of the man. But the words were spoken to the man's ears. Be opened. And immediately. And immediately, straightway, there was a healing. What this shows, of course, is his words are powerful. His words are active in accomplishing the purpose for which he speaks. The purpose was for the man's ears to be opened. And we see it was immediately accomplished. The power of God's words are illustrated all through the Word of God. We see specifically it is illustrated in the book of Genesis, in the account of creation. In Genesis 1, verse 3, in Genesis 1, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 15, verse 24, verse 26. In all of those verses, we read, and God said, and then you read a little further down in the verse, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. Creation was easy for God. Everything involved in creation was brought about with great ease. It's not hard to speak, and that's all he did. That's all he did was speak. Throughout the ministry of Christ, we see on several occasions, this being one of them, that all Jesus did was speak. And immediately, there was healing. Notice in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, the leper, and saith unto him, I will. Whatever he wills is so. I will, be thou clean. You go down to verse 42, and as he had spoken immediately, the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 4, or I'm sorry, the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and saith unto the sea, peace be still. The result, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Luke chapter 7, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, or the casket. They that bear him, they that were carrying that casket with the young man, stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. All he had to do was speak the word. And that is still true today. In Luke chapter 18, verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Verse 43, and immediately he received his sight. John chapter 11, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. So his voice is a voice of power. This is pictured in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, in verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice has the sound of many waters, showing the power, reverberating force of Christ's words. So they bring this man to Christ who had a great need. They could not cause this man to hear. They could not cause this man to speak plainly. They bring him to Christ and they begin to plead with Christ. And all the Lord has to do is speak. And it's done. What man could not do, what no amount of money could do, all the Lord has to do is speak. And that is still, again, as we've said, that is still true today. That is true in every single situation. We fret, we worry, we have restless nights, and all he has to do is speak, and it's done. That should encourage us greatly. That should encourage us, as these people did, bring our needs to Christ. So if we go back to Mark chapter 7. He spoke, be opened, and straightway his ears were opened. The cure was immediate. The man's ears were unplugged. Whatever caused the deafness, whatever the problem was, it's gone. It's gone by the authority of the word of Christ. The man's impediment was removed. And the string of his tongue was loosed. The string of the man's tongue was loosed. Now, some have said the reason the man could not speak plainly was because he was deaf, and the two, of course, are connected. And there is some truth in that. But that wasn't the only reason the man could not speak plainly, because the string of his tongue was loosed. Whatever that problem was fixed. The result, and he spake plain, which shows us that the problem was not necessarily that this man could not speak, but that he could not speak plainly. There was an impediment in his speech. But now he spake plain. He spoke very clearly. He spoke in a very pronounced way. All has a result of Jesus Christ. Now consider the effect that this had upon the people. If we go to Matthew chapter 15, again, Matthew does not record this specific healing. Mark is the only one who does. But Matthew does record Jesus going to this area of Decapolis and healing a multitude of people, and no doubt this man was a part of that multitude, and Mark focused in on this particular individual. But in Matthew 15, verse 31, insomuch, well, in verse 30, great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered. The multitude wondered when they saw these people being healed. What that means is they were filled with awe. They were filled with admiration for what Christ had done. They were truly amazed at what they had seen. And now Mark here in Mark chapter 5, or Mark chapter 7, verse 37, says that they were beyond measure. That is, they were immeasurably. You could not measure the astonishment of these people. They were beyond measure astonished. You could not measure the awe that they were in. You could not measure the amazement that they felt in seeing this man healed. So the people, it had an effect upon all the people. It had an effect upon all the multitude. It not only had an effect upon the one who was healed, but it had an effect on all who had witnessed what had transpired. And it filled them with awe and amazement. What this led to is that the people became very zealous in spreading the word about Christ. So we have this people, they're full of awe. They're full of amazement. And we see that in verse 36, the more he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal. A great deal, they published it. That is, they went through that region of Decapolis, same region that the demon-possessed man of Gadara went through and told what Jesus had done for him. And now this region is going to hear it all over again. And they began to communicate what Jesus had done. And notice what their message was. Notice what their message was here in verse 37. Their message was about what Christ had done. Notice, and verse 37, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done. That was their message. Their message was not about them. Their message was about what Christ had done. That was the same message that the demon-possessed man of Gadara delivered. How great things the Lord had done for him. So it was a message about what Christ had done. He maketh both the deaf and the dumb to speak. Once again, that area of Decapolis was blessed with a message of Jesus Christ. The people rejoiced. The fact that they so much the more, a great deal published it, shows the joy that was in their heart. They also were very, very satisfied with what Christ had done. It says there in verse 37, He hath done all things well. That's always so. That's always so. Whether you and I perceive it to be so or not does not change the fact that He doeth all things well. Even if God strikes someone dead, He doeth all things well. Even if God takes joys from us, He doeth all things well. We must believe that. We must believe that at all times. Again, their message was about what Christ had done. But not only that, their message was about the excellency and the thoroughness of Christ's work. He hath done all things well. That is, you can't improve on this. He hath done all things well. You cannot improve on what God has done. So the healing, this healing miracle of Christ, like all of His healing miracles, sends a message. The message is that Jesus came from heaven to bring restoration. That's what He did here. That's what He did in all of His healing miracles. He brought restoration. But also we see what He did here was He undid the damage that the fall into sin had caused. That's true of all the healing miracles of Christ. So the message of the healing miracles is that Jesus Christ came from heaven to restore and to undo. To restore creation and to undo the damage that the fall into sin has brought. And may I say that Jesus Christ is the only one who can do this. He's the only one who can restore what He created. And He's the only one that can undo. Oh, you can try. You can try and undo the damage that sin has done, but He's the only one who can really do it. And He proves this every single time that He heals an individual. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father,